Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
One of the best food scenes in the country, right here in Minnesota. And nobody knows it like magazine food critic and James Beard Award finalist Jason DeRusha. Now bringing you the most interesting people and hottest trends. Let's listen in as DeRusha eats.
His restaurant has been named one of the world's greatest places. He just won a James Beard Foundation Media Award for his television series on public television in the Twin Cities called Relish. Yia Vang is an incredible story and an incredible talent. One of the best storytellers when it comes to his family's heritage and how it interfaces with food. Yia Vang is introducing people all over Minnesota, the country, and the world to what it means to be Hmong and what that food is exactly like. His story will move you. His motivation, well, stick around for that. That's about 20 minutes into this conversation Yia Vang and I have on DeRusha Eats. Do I have to now always introduce you as James Beard Award winner?
No.
No?
You know, it's kind of funny. My mom, I went home the other day and did your dad's for Father's Day. And she's like, so your brother say you won some award? And I was trying to explain to them like what the beard was, let alone like what, like, you know, in media. And she's like, well, if they're food, why did you get, she always says like movie, like, you know, like you go make movies. And I'm like, oh, mom, it's a TV show, not movies. But it's just like, it became this whole like 15 minute of explaining. And I was like, never mind, mom. She's like, well, okay, congratulations. You know, it's super adorable.
Such a great like mom moment, right? Yeah. Because I wondered about that, you know, awards, and we're in award season, and Vinay has been recognized with all sorts of, I mean, sort of mind blowing national accolades, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. I think nationally, you know, it's been some really, really
great.
Weren't
you on like, what, do you remember all of them?
I do not. You
it's know, like it's, a globe. One was like, what, 20 places you have to visit around the world or something like that?
I think so, or something like that. It's like Time Magazine.
You really don't remember all this
stuff? I don't. But you know, it's funny. It's Jonathan, our GM. Jonathan is actually the one who like,
He tells you? Well, no, he does.
For Relish, for the beard, he actually was the one who texted me about it, because he texted me and he's like, hey, man, congratulations on the beard, the morning of when they, you know, when they announced it for the media awards. And I was like, what do you mean congratulations? I'm like, in that time we found out we weren't finalists, you know, for the restaurant one. So I'm like, yeah, bro, like that was a few months ago. Like we knew we weren't finalists, you know? And I was just like, dude, this is such a mean joke. Like, I'm like,
so cruel, right?
And he was like, no, for Relish. And then that's when I freaked out a little bit. I'm like, oh my gosh.
You have been yourself on the long list before, and you have been, you were a finalist before, right?
Yep.
As Best Chef Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And then TPT, the public television here, produces Relish, which you host. And we were just talking about this before we started. It's, first of all, it's a beautiful show in terms of connecting family stories to food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also literally a beautiful show, in that the photography just draws you in. These stories are so emotionally engaging, but it's also such a beautifully produced show.
Yeah, I mean,
you're a cook. Like, this has got to be sort of crazy for you being on the, now you're a TV star. You've done a number of TV shows.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the question I always get asked, like, do you enjoy this? It's like, well, obviously, I enjoy it, as in, like, you wouldn't do something if you didn't enjoy it, you know? Even, I've learned even the amount of, like, how much you get paid, you know? Like, yeah. If you didn't enjoy it, just at the end, you just wouldn't do it. So I do enjoy this. I had to learn a lot. I felt like starting this whole process about 6 years ago, you know, hosting shows and, you know, that kind of stuff, like, never had media training, never did any of that stuff. Started out, you know, doing some demo videos on YouTube for Local Crate. And then going in and
which was like a meal.
Yeah, meal kit prep, you know, yeah. Where it was like real simple. But then going from there to, you know, doing this and then doing a few like food
and
stuff.
How'd you get your break? Was it somebody saw one of those Local Crate things, or how did that happen for you?
Honestly, I think like the break started with Relish. About 6 years ago, Amy and Britt, who are the producers, you know, executive producers and directors, at that time, they were the everything, right? They were the sound, they were producer. I mean, you get it. Like, you walked, you know, in like your beginning years, you walked out there and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to hold my own camera and I'm going to do this and I'll edit it and throw it. And that's what they were. And
that's what they were doing.
Yeah, yeah. And they came, they're like, hey, we have an idea. And the very first idea was, hey, you, your mom together making her steamed buns, her calabalas, you know, and that was it. And it was going to be a 5-6 minute thing that was going to be on the web, just kind of, you know. Because
and they knew you from Union Hmong Kitchen?
Or? Yeah, I think so. A little bit of that too. And just kind of following, you know, what we were doing.
Yeah.
And so they said they met with a bunch of people. Now this, the story goes where they tell me, it's like, we met with a bunch of people and then we met with you and we just fell for you. You know, and I'm like, ah, really?
No. Is that true?
That's the joke.
It doesn't matter. Take it.
And we literally, I told you, it was like a Wednesday morning at, you know, Dogwood Cafe in, you know, in Northeast. And we're just sitting there and I think it was like super full. So we're like, all three of us are just sitting in this little couch area. And they're like, oh, this is cool. You know, like, and we had correspondence through emails where they're like, hey, we'd love to do this with you and your mom. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. Like, and then when we got there, they kept talking about hosting. And I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, yeah, mom and dad, like, we'll host you
at the house. We'll
and I was like, what? And then they kept going, well, we were actually thinking that if like we were going to do like little mini episodes, webisodes, and see you a host. And I'm like, you mean like I would be there for the next one too? It's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Yeah. And I was, you know, I was kind of like, okay, sure. Like, and I just thought to myself, well, if I can just like go in and a few of the people that they had, you know, for that first, I guess we'll call it season, you know, for those webisodes were friends of mine. So it's like, oh, cool. I'm going to go hang out with them for like half a day. And it's like, cool, you know? And so that was like really, really fun for me because it was just talking to my friends, hanging out with them, learning about the food that they're doing. And yeah, and that's how it kind of started.
And that was about
6 years ago. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like the initial conversation was like 6 years ago. And then the pandemic kind of, you know, put the pause on a lot of things. But like we went through the pandemic, you know, filming 6 feet apart, which was the weirdest thing. I remember me and Jorge Guzman, we were doing an episode and we were at Lynn Hall. You know, Lynn Hall, they have that studio kitchen. And we were literally like on each different side of the kitchen cooking and just like talking to each other.
To have the social distance.
Yeah. Yes. And then on top of it, our editor was like, don't worry, when I edit, it'll make it look like you guys are standing by each other. But I was like, yeah, this is just
so weird.
Yeah, and then
it was weird. It was a weird time. Yeah.
And I think the game changer was our season 5 last season with Jack Davis, you know, coming in as our editor and DP. And man, he just rocked it out. You know, I think before this, I was just saying to you how crazy it was when, you know, for one of the episodes, we took out a few doors just so that he's like wanted the right angle. And I'm like, okay, dude. And we're like, what are we doing? We're like destroying this house. Like we're reconstructing this house.
Right.
Just to get this angle. And then.
Because it was a small room. Yeah, it was a small kitchen, room, whatever.
Angles. Yeah. And the whole point of this is to go into people's kitchen in their house. So we could do a studio kitchen, but just doesn't have the right feel to it.
Yeah.
And a lot of these things that we're doing, a lot of these dishes we're doing, it's kind of like, it's not on their menu, especially if they have restaurants. It's like, it's not on their menu. It's like something that's close to them. And I remember I was like, okay, I guess. And then when I got to look at the rough cut, I was like, dude, that's really, really good. Yeah. Like, you know, and I think that was a game changer bringing Jack on board and he just killed it. And you know, I'm excited season 6. You know, I'm really, really excited about that and just some of the great things that's happening. I got to see some of the rough cuts on it and it was just really incredible.
Relish just won a James Beard Award. Up against some pretty heavy hitters you were up against, too. National TV shows, right?
Yeah, I mean, one of them was Top Chef.
Sucks. That show is terrible.
NBC, if you're listening, I love you guys. Call me. No.
But pretty great. You're like, all right, that is a massive show.
Well, that and then is it Tastemaker, Changemaker with Lydia, her show is on PBS National, yes, which is like the big one. So we were like the
little
guys.
Different budget. You're the underdog for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the joke was, imagine two big Marvel movies and then you're like the indie film that, you know, that the guys put together in the garage, you know. That's how we felt going in. And I think Amy and Britt were both kind of like, when we were there that night, he goes, hey, just remember, guys, like, we're just very happy to be here, you know.
Right.
And I grew up very competitive, so I'm like, no, I want to win. But it's like, when you, and then the host was Padma, you know, she was hosting the whole awards. And then right when we were talking, like, Gail Simmons, you know, walks by, and I remember Brittany goes, is that Gail Simmons? Like, oh, they're going to win, you know. And I'm like, I'll be very honest, I didn't think anything. I was like, well, it's just nice to be here. And we're sitting down, and then right next to us is Maddie Matheson, sits down right next to us, because his seat's right next to us, because he's up for a cookbook. And I'm just like, okay, this is getting real. And then just people that I look up to, especially with food and media, we're all around. And you're just like, okay, cool, just do your thing here. And then when it came up, because, you know, like, have you been to those award shows, right?
I lost. I was a finalist and I lost. Well, like, and let me tell you, it is a pinch me moment.
Yes.
Because I was in the same deal. I was against CNN.
Yeah.
And CBS News.
Yeah.
And the number of names on the CBS News list was like 25 names.
Yeah.
And on my list, it was me.
Well, then, and then those
guys. Like, great. Like, yeah, whatever. It's amazing to be names, there.
Like, you also remember how it's like these big, you know, outlets, they win all the time. So it's like they send some intern to get the award. Right. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's like, hi, my name is Bill. I'm the intern. All the real executive producers can't be here. So I'm here. Thank you. Yeah, we're CBS. You know, it's like something like that. And so we were like, okay, cool. Like, you know, like, I didn't know who was going to be there for Top Chef. Like, you know.
Right.
You could have been some
just anybody, right?
Yeah. And so we were like, well, okay. And I think when they said our name, like, a Brit, like, turned to me and she, like, said a word that was, you know, we can't say, but she was, I mean, in shock. And I looked at her and I'm like, oh, and I think for a half a second, we just, all three of us just stared at each other and we're like, and then I think it was like, oh, should we go up now?
Right.
And like, and that walk up there, you're just kind of like, you get real self-conscious because it's like the light is on you. And then you're just thinking to yourself, I bet you they're like, who are these guys? Like, who really
are these guys?
Like,
who, right. Yeah.
What's a relish? Is this show about condiments, you know? And so... Yeah, man, and we just got up there, and I think Amy prepared a speech, but hers is more of like the technicality of who to thank, you know, the producers, executive producers, and all whatever, and you know, the station TPT itself and all that stuff, and then they're like, okay, Amy's gonna say, because literally, the night before we were gonna go, I text them, I'm like, hey, just in the weirdest way, if we did win. How do we want to split
up? How are we going to handle it? Right. Yeah. Three of you up there.
And so they're like, hey, Amy's like, I have a little thing, like a little thank you. And then, you know, we're going to hand it over to you. And I was like, okay, whatever. Didn't prepare anything. So I got up there. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I was just wondering, like, I'm a cook. And they let me stand with my friends and do a show, you know? So it was kind of, I mean, it was really cool. And there were, you get only one medal.
There's just one medal
between the three of us.
Are you guys taking turns with it?
Well, right now it's at TBT. So the joke is, it's at TBT. It's like under, you know, it's like National Treasure, you know, Nick Cage movie. It's under this. it's under this like inch thick glass somewhere, you know. And I can only see it once a year.
Right.
To make an appointment to go see if I want to.
You're a freelancer.
You're not a real employee
over there. Yeah.
So it's over there. It's funny. Like our sound engineer Terry. Like they brought it to the office on Monday, and then everyone kind of like, you know, who was part of it, like Warren took pictures with it. And it's like the Stanley Cup, you know, everyone just eats cereal out of it.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's amazing to see you get recognized for this. I think I always describe you as one of Minnesota's most skilled storytellers when it comes to food. And I feel that in your restaurants. And certainly the show gives you a more literal way to do it. But do you see parallels between like the hosting and the storytelling that goes on at Relish and then the storytelling that, you know, Vinay is an intensely personal restaurant, which I think any part of the reason for the national accolades has been the fact that you feel that when you're eating there.
Yeah, so I think that for me, doing things like Relish or even our other show, you know, on Outdoor Feral, you know, where we, it's a little bit more travel show where we go out in the wild and we hunt, you know, invasive animals. But I think that what I love is what I learned with Vinay and just digging into the foods of our people and the foods and traditions and cultures of my parents and Hmong people. After I started digging into that, the question was, well, there's all these people around me. I want to dig into their story as much as I was just dug into mine. And that really propelled to be like, you know, like, I mean, you've done this for many years. You're an interviewer and you're just curious. So it's not like, oh, like WCCO, what are they curious about? And you're speaking for them. It's like, right. No, like Jason is curious and Jason wants to know.
Right.
And I think one of the great advice I got was from Andrew Zimmerman. Actually, he said, you know, you are the avatar. You are the person who you're going to stand in there and you're going to speak for the people and you're going to be curious for the people, you know, gets to watch. And, you know, he's traveled all around the world doing this stuff. And so I became just curious when, you know, I was, you know, when we find a new, you know, like we find a guest that's on the show, I was just curious. I was like, and sometimes I think our producers have to reel me back in because I get so deep and I get so fixated on like one little story and, you know, she'll reel me back in. But what's really cool about our producers are they're like, hey, we're just going to kind of let your leash go and let you do your thing. And then we'll filter through, you know, what
the other things that we want.
And so,
you really get to be yourself.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like that's what, like, again, like, I wouldn't do it if I didn't, you know, but I...
Well, like, the Sean Sherman episode, mm-hmm. which I think was one of the episodes you guys submitted for the Beard Award, it starts in a community garden, mm-hmm. and we see you saying, I grew up 3 blocks from here and didn't even know this was here.
Yeah.
And as a viewer, you're like, oh, man. Like, mm-hmm. it's just such a... You think, How many little hidden things near me do I have no idea that's going on? It just was a very, I think sometimes like a polished TV host, which you are now, but you still are very much, I think,
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like that community garden literally is 3 blocks. It's in Phillips neighborhood, South Minneapolis. It's 3 blocks from when I first moved here up to the Twin Cities, you know? And I was like, wait, this is here all the time. I'm like, I've driven past this place many times. You know, and then, you know, and then, you know, going with Linda through that and then going up, you know, we were ricing, up north where we were, you know, gathering wild rice, which wild rice isn't a rice. It's a grain. It's called wild rice, but it's really a grain. Learning that whole thing and what it means to the indigenous folks up there. And then coming back and cooking with Sean, who's a good friend. So it was just like two dudes hanging out, you know, cooking. Basically, he was making like a wild rice fried rice dish. And I'm like, oh, yeah, fried rice. Like, yeah, let's roll with this because I know how to do this, you know. But again, it was just me and Sean cooking. And then we just talk, which it's really cool because the things that we were talking about in the interview is things that we always talk about. Yeah. So it felt like people just got to listen in on like a Thursday conversation that we were having, which was like super fun. And that was such a fun show. And then I think the other part of the segment that they put in, which will be on this season, is I stopped at Nordic Wear, mm-hmm. you know, and that was super fun. And
it's remarkable, isn't it?
It is incredible.
Yeah.
Because like, I think it's kind of like a joke for us here, like in a good way. It's like a bundt cake. Oh, yeah, bundt cake, bundt cake. But it's like, no, actually, it wasn't really a hit when it first started. You know, it was...
This is in suburban Minneapolis, Nordic Wear, big supplier of, you know, pans mm-hmm. and kitchen, but they're famous for the bundt cake.
That's where they started, was the bundt cake. And, you know,
that pan, all those interesting shapes, and you're in there, I've been in there too. Yeah. It's amazing. You're watching this stuff rolling off the assembly line. And
definitely when you go into the shop where they make this, like this whole, you're in there, and I'm just amazed. By the machinery, and this used to be just like by hand, like in a basement, you know, where Jenny her grandfather started. It was just like ting 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 ting,
banging out the metal and the shape,
and it's like, and then we got like my first time baking with a bundt cake, you know, a pan, you know, and so.
But that is a family story too, right? Because it is still run by the family, and like you said, it was her grandfather.
But that is so Minnesota. Like that's what I love. Like, I love what we don't stray from the show is to be like, oh, yeah, this is how we work into the realm of the country. It's like, no, this is Minnesota. It's like, this is Minnesota. That's what we're doing. We're focusing on Minnesota. This is, and then the country gets to listen in on what's going on, which is, to me, is what I love, the tone, you know, of the show, where it's like, we're not trying to be cool and relate to all these other big cities, but we're like, no, actually, there's a lot of stuff here. And kind of what I said in the acceptance speech is like, I think a lot of people that were born or raised in the Midwest, you always have to feel like, hey, I have to go see the world. But it's like, now here in 2025, the world has come to us. The world is in our backyard with, you know, refugees, immigrants, you know, people moving in from the world, moving here into our backyard, building a life for themselves. And I think that that's where we in the show love, you know, coming in. And so and learning about all that. And so it's so incredible. I mean, like this next season, one of the most favorite show was hanging out with Warren and Jess of Ono Hawaiian Food.
My gosh,
it was just fun just to hang out because I love Hawaiian food. But learning about the plate lunch and how that was a collision of cultures, and that's how the plate lunch can be, which is like the it's like what, you know, Hawaii is known for now.
Right.
You know?
Let's break, because that's a great point to talk a little bit more about your story, about Vinay, and this idea that the world comes here. I want to explore that a little bit more, because I think that's quite a change from when you and I first met, probably more than a decade ago. The scene is very different today, and it is, it's maybe not what the rest of the country expects when they think about Minnesota.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, more with Yia Vang on To Russia Eats in just a minute.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, it's Jason DeRusha with a message from Minnesota's pig farmers. Discover the meat of the North, pork. Pork is as Minnesotan as the lakes, trees, and people who call this state home. Did you know there are more than 30,000 pig farming families? They live and work in the North Star State, raising one of the safest, most delicious meats the whole world can enjoy. Pork is something we enjoy in the DeRusha family at least a few times a week. Maybe it's pork loin roast, shoulder, pork chops, ribs, bacon. Oh, I'm getting hungry just talking about it. It's so affordable, too. If you're looking for recipes, MNPork.com's got them. Great recipes like dilled pork cutlets, Parmesan-crusted pork chops, and you can feel good about eating pork from Minnesota farmers. They've been reducing their carbon footprint with better genetics, new technologies, and more. Pick up pork tonight for dinner at your local meat market or grocery store. Let's have Minnesota pork for dinner. Oh, yeah.
To Russia Eats continues. Here's your host, Jason DeRusha.
All right, back here with Yia Vang. I'm Jason DeRusha, a food editor here at WCCO Radio in Minneapolis and for Minnesota Monthly Magazine. Yia Vang is our guest. He is the chef owner of Vinai Union Hmong Kitchen. He is the James Beard Award winning host of TPT, Twin Cities Public Television's show Relish, which you can find on YouTube, streaming past seasons, and then this new season rolling out as it launches. I did look up to see what Vinai's awards were.
Oh, such a
you were on Time Magazine's World's Greatest Places for 2025. You were named one of the best new restaurants in the world by Condé Nast Traveler.
Yeah, that one's funny because like a lot of my friends who don't like, you know, they don't because they're like, wait, what's a Condé Nast Traveler? And I'm like, well, they own a few other
magazines.
Yeah, magazine. You might have heard of called GQ.
Right.
So yeah, it's a
well, and I think that one was written by a local writer as well, which I think was that the Condé Nast one?
I think so. I'm not sure. You know, we have so many people coming in and you know, just kind of connecting with us and talking to us. So sometimes it's like I'm talking, and then they're like, oh yeah, like, you know, it's freelance,
right,
you get it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So it's like,
right.
Oh yeah, like, you know, oh yeah, I live in Plymouth. And you're like, oh, cool.
When you look at that and yeah. You're like, best in the world. I don't know. Do you look at your restaurant and think you're one of the best new restaurants in the world?
I don't know. I feel very humbled by it. You know, I think that, you know, what is the...
Like, I don't mean that in an accusatory way, but it's sort of a crazy thing to even get
your
arms around.
Yeah, I mean, even the word in the world, you know, it's just, but we're very humbled by it, you know, but you have to realize too, and this is us kind of in a way defending ourselves a little bit, but you have to realize too, like, the people that are putting this list together, it's not like, you know, somebody in their basement just reading off something, you know, it's like these people traveled to all these places around the world. These, you know, they gather together. They spent like, you know, a good 6-7 months, maybe
yeah,
even
right.
a year compiling this.
Well,
list.
It was Kate Nelson who submitted you for Condé Nast, and
oh, yeah.
she
yep.
is
yep.
A great traveler, a great writer,
oh, yeah.
indigenous mm-hmm. Advocate, you know, and she knows her stuff. Like both mm-hmm. of these lists that you're on, so I did some research. I was mm-hmm. curious. I'm like, how did, like, what happened? Did Vinai just have great PR? Did they,
yeah.
How did they get on the list? Because the year you opened, we had three really, I think, maybe four, you could say, terrific mm-hmm. new restaurants that opened. You, Dario, mm-hmm. which is Italian, incredible pasta, mm-hmm. Boucheron,
yep.
which just won the James Beard Award for best new restaurant mm-hmm. in the U.S., and Diane's Place, mm-hmm. which Diane is one of our most awarded, I think, mm-hmm. Pastry chefs, who opened a very personal savory restaurant. So you're like, what a year. Like some really great stuff. But I think, first of all, you deserve to be on these lists. And second of all, when you think about a list that would be of interest to a traveler, you think, all right, if you're going to come to Minneapolis, where should you go? Well, you go to Vinai, you're going to get a very unique experience that you're not going to get really in any other city and anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, after I think our very first big one, I think was the New York Times list, right?
Yeah.
And so literally after that, I noticed that there were like during the middle of the week, there were like kind of like, you know, one top people like, you know, like singles who would come in and sit at the bar and eat. But then like right away, you look at them, you're like, you're not like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not from this neighbor.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So like one of them, dude.
You wouldn't be a normal because your restaurant for people listening around the country, Vinai is in Northeast Minneapolis. Yep. Which is very neighborhoody. Mm-hmm. If you were traveling on business, you would not stumble into Vinai.
Yes.
You have to intentionally go.
And
there.
Especially if you're traveling on business, let's just say you're staying at the Four Seasons or Hewing or downtown.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there are plenty of restaurants on there. Don't
right.
get me wrong, and they're
right.
great restaurants on there. So those restaurants down there see more of the travelers.
Yep.
You know, just location.
So
right?
for you to get a solo out of town person,
yes.
and
we saw more of that. You know, so
cool.
or we've even seen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we
I wondered
seen,
about that. If
yeah.
if. People are discovering it.
Yep. And then we've also seen more of like, oh, hey, we're here eating and then we got to, you know, our flight's at 8 or whatever. So I'm here at 5, you know. And so like in our little.
That's what I do when I'm out of town. You find those little out of the way places
and
you're that place.
Yeah. And so we've seen that. And
cool.
You know, that was it was kind of really cool to.
Tell your story because I didn't set you up at all.
Oh, I don't feel like we've done so many interviews.
I know, right? We just get talking. I did this when I did a podcast with Gavin Kasem. We just started going, and it's like, it's, you know, hopefully people enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's like two friends talking about restaurants. But your story is, in many ways, a uniquely Minnesotan story, starting from your arrival here.
Yeah, so we came to America in 87, 88, ended up at Eastside St. Paul, eventually moved out to like western, you know, Wisconsin, Manitowoc, you know, area there, and then eventually moved out to like the East Coast, like Pennsylvania. There's a small group of Hmong people that ended up out there just kind of being away from, you know, all the kind of more urban setting. So, you know, I grew up out there, my did, you know, elementary, middle school, and then during high school, we moved back to central Wisconsin, grew up in a small town in Wisconsin, ended up, you know, at UW-La Crosse, you know, went down there doing a thing. And then eventually my mom's side of the family is all up here. So I ended up here. And yeah.
Born in a refugee camp.
Yeah, right? Born in a refugee camp here, you know, and then we came up here. And cooking was always a background, but I never wanted to do it for like a profession because I was like, well, it's kind of like one of those like, well, I'm going to do this until I find my real grown-up job one day. You know, and went to school. I majored in interpersonal communication, minor in PR and marketing. And so I remember telling myself, hey, one day, like I remember coming into downtown here and I would be like, one day I'm going to work in one of those big buildings. You know, like that would be so cool because that's what you do when you're successful.
Right.
And then eventually just found jobs working at restaurants here. And then
what was the first restaurant you worked at?
Here, professionally here in the Twin Cities was Burl, I think.
Really?
Like they were starting a lunch program.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were just starting a lunch program, and they were just like, we just need a lunch cook. I'm like, okay, cool.
So you cooked a lot of that. They had a blackened catfish.
And then they had, you know, they had these like little like pasta dish. And I mean, obviously the burgers, that was all it was. It was like burgers.
Burger.
Yeah, yeah. So they were opening right there in North Loop, and they were opening, starting lunch. And then eventually Nighthawk did pastries over there, did like pies and stuff, and then ended up at Spoon for a little bit. And then after that, it was just like my body just took a toll. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do this, you know? And so you got these young 18-year-old kids that are running around. And you're like, at that time, I just turned 30. So I was like, oh, I don't know if this is like the life. But I've done restaurants for so long growing up. So I'm like, okay, maybe this is it. And then at that time, there was this new kitschy word called pop-ups, you know? And this, I can say this because this was almost like 10 years ago, but... Eastside St. Paul, Cook St. Paul, you know, and Wu was like, well, I read this book by Danny Bowen called Mission Chinese, and it's all about pop-ups. And he's like, if you want, like a friend of a friend, you know, knew him. He's like, you want, you can come over, take over for a night, you know, because it was a diner at that time.
Right.
So that's kind of how it started.
Huh, cool.
And then, I went there. And I quickly learned, like, Eastside St. Paul is very interesting on a Friday night, you know, after the sun goes down.
It's a little gritty, I think you could say.
Rustic.
Rustic.
That's the word we're looking for, yeah.
Was that the first time you made your food? Where you made food you'd describe as Hmong food?
I think that was the first time, but I think that the Hmong food we made there on the first pop-up was really just reflective of, like, Hmong village, to be honest. Like, you get your sticky rice, you get your grilled meats. And then I think that after that one, you know, I started thinking more like, hey, man, like, But I learned all these skills from all these like French-based, you know, restaurant, and all these things. So I'm like, well, can we marry these, you know, ideas together? Because, you know, it's like I'm still myself, you know. Right. And then that's when I really dug into like what made the foods that gave us comfort growing up, especially foods of my mom and dad, you know. And so
describe for people who don't. You know, people, Suni Lee maybe help people get a little bit of an understanding as to what
Googling.
What is Hmong about.
Yeah.
But what does it mean to be Hmong?
Yeah, so I think...
Because there's no nation.
Yes. So we're an indigenous group in Southeast Asia, especially the big focus is in the mountains of Laos and Thailand and Vietnam. We're considered, we're mountain people. So we, you know, our people can be traced back to the mountains. It's still there today. A bunch of our people there, and the way that we intersect with America or America's history is during the Secret War. You know, there's a war going on in northern Laos there, same time while the Vietnam War was going on. My parents, my dad and his brothers were, you know, became soldiers, fought for the Americans, fought for the interests of America. And
the history of this is fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
right? Like, sort of the CIA is involved. Yeah. It's a secret
war. It's a
very
complex history, yes. And I think that for people,
but your family fought with America.
Yes, yes. My dad did, and that's, you know, age 12, he joined up.
Wow.
And told me, you know, wow. We still have the, and that's why it was really cool at Vinay, you know, the at Vinay, the restaurant, on, we have all his pictures up there, you know, just a kid, you know, just sitting there. And so it was, so yeah, so that's how, and then eventually after the war, everything broke, the U.S. pulled out, there was a genocide of our people, refugee camps were started, and our people just kind of like tried to escape. And so the Thai government was like, hey man, we don't want any trouble with Laos, you know, and Laos was like, hey, like, you help the Americans, like, you know, this is kind of what's good. So there was this atrocity that happened, and it's called a secret war for a reason.
Yeah.
All of this stuff wasn't released until probably about 10, 15 years ago. It wasn't even acknowledged that, you know, the that we had U.S. troops on the ground, or U.S. caseworkers, I guess,
right,
you want to call it, on the ground in Laos. That was not even acknowledged until probably 15 years ago. And so, yeah, so our people ended up here in the Twin Cities, because Twin Cities has one of the best refugee relocation groups that are, you know, here. And so that's the first places we came here in 1975, Hmong people. It was here in the Twin Cities.
Now what we're seeing is sort of the, I don't know, kind of first generation, because you were, what, 5 when you came here?
Yeah, about 4 or 5, yeah, yeah.
Doing their own thing and making their own mark.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the first generation.
How old are you now?
41.
Oof. What happened?
Man, I don't know. the other day, my girlfriend Amanda the other day looked at a picture of a few years. You look younger than. I'm like, that was like 3 years ago. Just chill out, woman. You know, she was just like, oh, you look a little older now. I'm like, it's like when you work in the kitchen, you know,
that ages you.
Yeah.
It's all the grease. And
it's
stuff.
What do I say? It's like city miles. I got city miles. 41, but city miles. Body feels like 68.
What, when you look at what you're doing at V9, how do you, like, when you think about the potential for what it could be and what you want it to be, where are you on that continuum?
You know what? I tell people that our imagination, my imagination for V9 was way too small in the beginning, because it was, hey, we want to open a place where we can make the foods of our parents, that we can, you know, honor the tradition of our people by making food. And that was the intention of it. But again, it's like, that's the funny thing about imagination. You don't know what you don't know. And to see where it is now, to see, last month the UN came by and said, hey, like, we'd love for you to be a part of our voice here with a bunch of, you know, stuff, we're programs we're doing with refugees. And we'd love for you to, you know, for V9 to kind of be a center point of focus on that, you know? And so We go from there to, you know, being on some of these lists that says, hey, you guys are doing things that are changing some of the things in the world. And it's not I don't look at this as a great job, yeah, pat on the back, but I look at this as a testament to the hard work of, you know, not just even the people that gone before us, but the hard work of my mom and dad. Like, and I do mean that. Like, it always astounds me when I see when people, you know, or I hear stories of people going up to my mom and dad, and they'll just be like, hey, like, that's your son, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, you know, as a kid who felt like he messed up a lot, and you're a dad, you get it, you know, like, it felt like maybe I can make up for a few of those, like, you know, being a kind of like an idiot moment,
right,
you know?
Right.
And so just to see that, it's just like, yeah, this is your hard work. This is your story all the time, and we get to tell it, we get to sing about it every day. So that is in the food we do, that is in the plate, you know, the how the place is built, that is in, and you've been there, you know, you've seen the service, you know, the people, the culture we build, the culture
people
we build in there, the vision, mission, values, and goals. And
even when it started it was good, not great, and the work that you and your team have put in, you know, a lot of times places open with a splash and then die. And your place opened strong and just gets better every time I go. And that's not always the case. That's sort of rare, actually.
We're very blessed. I'll be honest. We're very blessed.
They're working hard.
To have a great team, you know, a team that understands, we always say, you know, our foundational values to our restaurant is moving, you know, always moving. And then we say forward, always moving forward together. always moving forward together.
How'd you come up with that?
It was my father. I was talking to my dad one day. We were kids. It was a few years ago. And I said, Dad, how'd you know how to escape, you know, the village? How'd you know? And he just said, you know, he's like, well, when we heard that the communist soldiers would come in and you know, killing off our people and murdering our people, back, like, the soldiers were like, we disbanded and went back to our village. And, you know, everyone looked at me because I was the only one with military training, and I had a compass, and I pointed it south, and I started walking into the jungle, and I had my machete and I had my rifle, and I would just slowly just stretch, and everyone followed. And he said, you know, she's like, we had to constantly be moving because we always had to move because we knew that if we can get to the river, you get across the river, you get to Thailand, and there you'd be safe. So we just kept moving. But you're in the mountains, though. So imagine you have no direction, no Google Maps. You're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, like, you've gone up going up north, northwards.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, imagine you plop yourself in there, you have no direction. There's no trail.
Right.
And just, okay, now start going. And he said that they just start going and they start moving. And he goes, and we had to do it together. And by doing it together, sometimes there were people that were said, hey, I don't want to go anymore. And we just, it was a hard decision, but we had to leave them because it was part of the group. Like, cause if we all stayed for one person, then the whole group. So you had to think of, and then always move forward together. And so we always had to keep moving. The direction was forward. And he kept saying that to me. And I was talking to a friend because when we were building out the vision, mission, values, and goals of VNI, I kept telling him the story, and he goes, that's exactly what you've been doing with, you know, Union Monk Kitchen. That's exactly what. And I was like, oh, wow, yeah. Like, so finding the right team that you can move forward together. So when we have any decisions to make within the restaurant, for example, if I get a gig that says, hey, yeah, like, you know, for this next 3 weeks you're filming, so you're going to go here, here, and here, I speak to our team. And I said, hey, guys, like, this is where I'm doing. This is where I'm going to be. I want to, you know, let you in on it. And our executive team's like, okay, awesome. Like, what do we need to do on our end to keep that support here, you know? It's incredible. Like, that's, you know, that's what we get to do. And I tried to explain to my father once, you know, where it's like, hey, Dad, you know, like, the way that we lead this restaurant is how you led your people out. And he's just like, oh, okay. You know, but I'm like, right. But it's so much deeper than that. Like your life lessons is actually paving the way for us as a restaurant. You know, the things you learn, you know, and with Father's Day that just, you know, came by, like, I thought a lot about that. You know, it's like, not everyone gets a dad like this, you know, and I truly feel blessed to have a father who fought a war, but then never coming to this country, he never asked for anything, you know, but he gave us everything. That's what I always say. He never asked for anything. He never asked, like, hey, kids, go be rich and successful. He never even asked us to do that. He just said, I'm going to come here and I'm going to do my darnest to give you the ability to have a hope of a future. And that's what he's done. And it's what he's still doing today, like, probably right now. They're at the garden farming for the restaurant, you know? Yeah. Like, till today, they're still doing that. And so that's, to me, again, my imagination was way too small for VNI. Because it was like, it was going to be a place where we, like, grill food and it was going to be awesome. Which, there's nothing wrong with that. We just didn't know. And as we think deeper and more about this, what we started realizing, too, was, like, we have people coming to the restaurant, people writing in, you know, this is a testament to relish, actually. We had a lady who wrote in and said, you know, in January, she wrote in. She said, in the state of everything that's going on in this country and uncertainties and craziness going on in this country, she's like, I found hope in watching episodes of Relish.
Wow.
She said that. She goes, I watched Relish.
Yeah.
And she sent a letter in and she said, I watched Relish and it gave me hope because I saw all these different people and their stories through food. And how food was just this common factor. And she wrote in a letter to us, and I was just like, it was amazing. And so we're realizing that, oh, wow, like, what we're doing here is just beyond just cooking food. And that's why, like, even VNI, how it connects to Relish, how it connects to things that we're doing with, you know, our dinner series and stuff that we're doing. And so these are the things that are kind of growing. I don't know. Hopefully, because we're approaching a year. The end of July is a year, 1 year of VNI being open. So if you were to tell us a year ago that this is where it's going to be, because, like, this time last year, we're like, is this thing going to ever open? Because, like, we were having construction issues and, you know, it was just like, you know, you're angry. I was angry half the time. But to say a year later, this is where we're going to be at.
Well, you think even during the process, I mean, over the last 10 years, you and I have talked about you trying to get funding for it.
Yeah.
And it was hard.
Yeah.
You look today, you look at the success. I'm sure plenty of ding-dongs who wouldn't give you a dime are like, oh, well, okay, hey, you know.
It's like all those ex-girlfriends. Are like, right? What are you doing these days, huh? You look very, it's like you get that text from the ex-girl. You look very successful. Things are going well for you, I see. Well, Becky, freshman year, you didn't think I was going to mountain this again. So
but I would see you taking out the trash at Union Mung Kitchen and then on your way to a meeting to try to get some money so you could achieve the dream of Vinod.
I mean, it's kind of the joke.
I know, it's cool, man.
Well, it's the kind of the joke. We still do it today. Like, you know, during the winter, when it was snowing. I think I was like plowing or something like that. I was like shoveling. And somebody saw me. I don't do this for people to see, like, to be honest, because it's like, you get it. It's like, who's going to shovel this?
Yeah, right. You know? You got to do it.
Yeah. Yes. It's not like, hey, we'll wait for Junior to get here to do it. No. So I was like shoveling and somebody like saw it and took a picture and sent it to me, like, so, you know, some person. And they're like, wow, like you shovel? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's 9 in the morning. How do we get this? If we don't shovel this, how does the truck get in, you know?
I am going to sit with always moving forward together for some time after this conversation, because I look at, you know, we're recording this after really a horrible weekend in Minnesota where we had a political assassination, we had a manhunt, killer on the loose. At the same time, we have war happening in Iran,
bombings.
And sometimes we as individuals feel overwhelmed or helpless. But there's some inspiration in this idea of always moving forward together. My son gave a graduation speech for his high school.
Oh, awesome.
And he talked about looking out at the crowd and seeing 500 kids all dressed in the exact same outfit. And he said, he's like, the world doesn't need 500 identical graduates. The world needs all of your differences. But he talked about the harmony of differences, which sort of goes with this always moving forward together. We don't all have the same idea. We don't always need to have the same opinion. But there is some common humanity, some common mission. And through our differences, there is a way to get to that always moving forward together, I think.
Absolutely. I think that's what we find out in food, right? I mean, there's this line we use in our kitchen sometimes. We say same, same, but different, you know?
And, yes.
And it's, you know, like, for example, if you think about a grain of rice, how many cultures can take a grain of rice and do something that's uniquely to their culture, to their traditions? Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's a grain of rice.
Right.
It grows from the ground. It's a grain of rice. Like, we cannot. And I think that at the core of who we are in our humanity, it's like there's in our nuances, there's so many similarities. But that's it. You know, like nuances, similarities within nuances.
And, yeah.
And so I think that was that's the big thing where I'm like, look, we're striving for the same thing here. But our pathway there, sometimes we get so lost in the pathway, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Where everyone's so angry at each other. It's like, well, no, this is, it's like, well, we're striving for the same goal here. And I think that working in the kitchen, you figure that out real fast.
Yia Vang, I always love our conversations. I'm so happy for the success of Relish. And people can check that out on YouTube or just Google TPT Relish and you'll find it. And if you haven't been to Vinai, come. Come sit at the bar if you're alone. Last time I was there, Alyssa and I sat at the bar. It's don't be intimidated if you struggle to make a reservation because there are only 50 seats, 60 seats.
Oh, no. Now we added a few more tables. So we're at, I think, 92-ish.
Oh, big.
Yeah.
What'd you do? Shrink the tables and squeeze some people?
You're going to be kind of close to a few areas. Yeah.
It'll feel like a New York restaurant. Yes, that's fine. Yes. Come check it out. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks so much for listening to the DeRussia Eats podcast. On WCCO Radio, 830 AM, we do conversations with chefs, with farmers, with small business people every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. The podcast is available every week. If you enjoyed what you heard, I would love for you to leave us a review. Give us however many stars you can. I don't know, 10, 20 stars would be nice, 5 stars. And leave your feedback as well. It really helps us grow and helps support covering the food community here at WCCO Radio and in the DeRussia Eats podcast. If you'd like to email me with an idea or a question about the restaurant scene, you can email Jason at Odyssey, AUDACY.com. Jason at Odyssey.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the DeRussia Eats podcast.
Thanks for listening to DeRussia Eats. Dan Cook is our producer. Jason DeRussia is your host. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. DeRussia Eats is a production of Odyssey.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.